It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It is a balance. You know, you talk about a guy, for example, like Keenan. You know, he's been playing for a long time. You know, is he going to get reps? You know, we'll just have to discuss that. You know what I mean? And but you're always looking at the line, right? The protection part of it. That's the big piece of it. And we'll just see where it is.
That is interim Bears coach Matt Eberflus talking about playing time in the preseason. We'll talk about playing time in the preseason. Right now, Mark Grody is playing the hits. There was Jalen Johnson was holding a court, and so Grody's over there. And there was it Keenan Allen or was it DJ Moore?
Where
there was
Keenan Allen.
And so we're pushing Mark back until he's can catch his breath from all of these interviews in the first practice of Camp Caleb.
He's a busy guy, that Mark Grody.
Yes, he is. He's a Bears training camp, and I should remind all of you suckageers of this. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Bears. Okay, so Mark tweeted out, Ryan Bates played center for the Bears on day one of camp. Everything else was standard. Braxton Jones at left tackle, Tevin Jenkins at left guard, Nate Davis right guard, Darnell Wright at right tackle. Nate Davis, he's supposed to be there, but he's not always there, but he was there. Kevin Fishbane tweeted out something, and I talked about this months ago, and I'm going to bring this up again. Montez Sweat said defensive tackle Javon Dexter did the conditioning test with the defensive ends. Quote, he definitely made a transformation. I pointed out in the last half of the season, remember the guy, all the Jalen Carter, oh my God, you missed on a generational player. He's the guy. He's going to be Terry Party, Warren Sapp, Tommy Harris. He's that guy. Well, for about six games he was. In the second half of the year, Javon Dexter was better. His numbers were better. Javon Dexter was coming on. Sure, he benefited by Montez Sweat. They all did. But you're supposed to. That's the way it works. It's a symbiotic relationship. That's how it happens. Complementary football is not just offensive defense. It's defensive ends and defensive tackles. And Javon Dexter is, he's going to have every chance to be that three technique. And we'll have Les explain the three technique later on. Roma Dunze was attending a funeral, according to Patrick Finley. He tweeted out, Bears rookie wide receiver Roma Dunze is expected back tomorrow. After missing today with what the team called a personal matter, he's attending a funeral. Nate Davis was indeed a full participant at practice. There's actual video of it, so we have evidence that he was there. See if he can make it 2 days in a row. We came into this talking about playing time. You know, the Bears have four preseason games. Talking to Mike Mayock about playing time in the fourth preseason game. He loves the idea, obviously, four preseason games, but the last one on a Thursday. And having more than 2 weeks, having 17 days till they actually kick it off in anger. And allowing Caleb Williams the time to get more snaps. And I could see, you could hear the argument going on in Matt Eberflus's head. Well, does Keenan Allen need snaps? No, he doesn't. But Caleb Williams needs snaps, and he needs snaps with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and the whole bunch of them. So he used wisely and surprisingly a measuring stick from last year, and he pointed out C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, all rookie quarterbacks last year, 45 to 55 reps in the next month for Williams. That's what they found they did last year. Jordan Love in particular played more. Wani was on up. He's got statistics. Wani was on with Mully and Haw, and he made the point, Jordan Love last year played 40% of the Packers' offensive snaps preseason. Justin Fields played 13%. And that percentage, that statistic, sticks with Wani because Justin Fields needed more than that, and the Bears' offense sucked. They spent a month sucking, which was good for us, good for the show, staying on brand. The Bears sucked. It appears Eberflus has maybe learned something. Now, the interim Bears coach is not often accused of that, but this might be the case. Jordan Love played 8 series last year in 3 games, and he did play all 3 games. In fact, he played 3 series in the 3rd game when a lot of teams would, you would think, because it's the last preseason game, give their guys time off. But the Packers know what they're doing. Anytime the Bears can copy the Packers, except when it comes to an offensive coordinator who had never called plays and a center who shouldn't have been a center. But other than that, that's not why you called. Jordan Love played 8 series last year in 3 preseason games. He led scoring drives on half of them. 3 TDs and a field goal. A TD pass in every game. So the Bears have 4. That's ample time to give Caleb Williams a chance to play in maybe 10 possessions. He'll need all of them.
You're both crazy.
How can you say that?
I just did. Watch my lips. Better.
Caleb Williams is not going to get better at playing football unless he plays football. And Eberflus was, seemed like he was trying to massage it yesterday. Well, he can get more out of controlled scrimmages and he can play against a better defense when he's playing against a Bears defense. Look, you're rarely going to hit in games you always hit. I can see why Eberflus is saying that, but Bears fans are too smart to believe the interim coach. Nothing matches the adrenaline of game day. It just doesn't. And the kid who has never played in an NFL game needs to play a lot in the NFL. And all those games that are there, they're free games, they're free playing time, they're better than the choreography of Halas Hall up there now and tomorrow and on until they actually hit somebody. So when all this came up yesterday, DJ Moore did not look happy about playing, about more playing time in preseason games, more work for the offense. Cole Kmet, you can tell he wasn't happy. He said, well, I just work here. I am just listening to the boss. He's the coach. We do what he wants. But the idea of not playing much in preseason, not a lot of snaps, that was last year's approach. Moore and Kmet were here, and Moore and Kmet's team sucked. Moore and Kmet's team sucked for an entire month, which included they eventually blow a 21-point lead to Russell Wilson and the winless Broncos at home. You can't get better at football unless you play football. And the Bears didn't play much football when their games were there, and they sucked in the first month. So, on the other hand, Moore and Kmet, when they were talking yesterday to the media, they seem to understand the urgency, the necessity. They're going to have to play, like it or not. New offensive coordinator, new quarterback, a lot of new players. DJ Moore was asked for a reasonable timeline for the Bears to get comfortable in Waldron's offense. He was asked yesterday, and his answer was tomorrow. That would be today. Cole Kmet said, yeah, now, the urgency. We've got to get this thing going quickly. There's not going to be time to meander through this thing. We've seen the Bears meander. They thought they could meander for the first month. And in September, the coach should have been fired. He still should be fired. The interim coach should not be there, but he is. Ryan Poles' choice. Cole Kmet continuing here. We've got to operate at a high level. We've got to really take advantage of our walkthroughs at night. The better we are through these things, the faster we can be on game day, but it's got to happen quickly. You can make what you want of walkthroughs, Cole Kmet. Nothing happens to make it quicker than games, actual snaps, adrenaline-pumping snaps, an enemy set to destroy you, somebody trying to hurt you, that kind of pressure, that kind of gearing up, that kind of owning a huddle in Caleb Williams' case, in the heat of a real game, and then finding the making the anticipatory throw, knowing when his target will cut and putting it right there, knowing where and who his targets are. Knowing there's DeAndre Swift in the flat, take that. That's a long handoff. It always was in the West Coast offense. It still will be. And we'll get a report from Mark Grody when Mark's available. That seemed to be Caleb's choice today. Actually, an excellent sign. Now, if he can do that under pressure. The point of all of this is, however they dole out reps, it's all you can eat for Caleb Williams. He'll need it. The expectations are such that the Bears talked about, hey, Ryan Poles, our goal is to win the Super Bowl. We're going to take the division. Bears players talked about the playoffs. Yeah. What are we waiting for? There was a 7-win team last year with a quarterback who can't play quarterback in the NFL. Now they have a guy who is supposed to be terrific, if not generational, at the most important position there. And he walks in with the best set of weapons any number one overall pick has. And anything he's been surrounded with. Veterans, young guys, all adding better traits, qualities, a better threat, a bigger threat than what we've seen. It's almost as if they wiped away all the excuses. That's what we wanted. Remember when Culler was here and all that arm talent and he looked like a quarterback and he threw like a quarterback and we heard excuse after excuse. Sean Sears' quarterback, Jay Cutler, was, right? You remember OB and Doug on the postgame show? I got to protect these guys. This guy needs some help on the offense. Yeah, well, that's true. Every quarterback does. And then get him weapons. But he had weapons. He had Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett. And how'd that work out for everybody?
They still kind of sucked.
That's your quarterback. It's the prime quarterback. That's your answer to what happened to Green Bay. That's the Favre, Rodgers, Jordan Love thing. You have Jay Cutler. Right? I mean, what else you got?
Caleb Haney looked good for maybe like a couple, you know, a couple series maybe in that NFC title game.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's it. That's all I got, man.
And I'm saying there were excuses made and I was there. I followed that whole line of like, look at all his talent. He looks like a quarterback. Bears have a quarterback. Look at that arm. And look at those legs, right? Those legs were really on display the first time Mike Martz was calling plays in an exhibition game against San Diego and Ron Rivera. Not that he had a grudge to hold. He was blitzing in the first preseason game. Jay Cutler was out after three plays, after running out of bounds three times. Well, you got to expect the Bears' offensive line to be better than that. You got to expect your running backs to be able to pick up the blitz. Your two-night tight end, Gerald Everett, did not practice today. We'll find out why later on. But Cole Kmet's there and ready and a top 10 tight end. And they'll protect this guy. But I was there making excuses, the Cutler-like excuses, that you can't make for, you shouldn't make for Caleb Williams. Now, the offensive line could be better. Sure. I think so many people say that, like in every city, couldn't the offensive line be better? Does that go for every team, Sean, do you think? Every offensive line? Yeah, our offensive line could be better.
Yeah, I'm sure every team feels like their offensive line isn't as good as it should be or needs to be. Everyone wants what Philly had for a couple seasons or what, you know, San Francisco has now. But
what Tom Brady always had, however they managed to do it, right?
Gosh, he always had an elite tackle, guard, something on that line that was going to help them, you know, make sure that guy didn't get smacked and stayed pretty.
There's few exceptions. Offensive lines are like bullpens, right? You got a handful.
That's a good comp.
A handful that are, so Tom Brady got to stand back there and play quarterback. I remember, speaking of bullpens, Jim Leland going into the Hall of Fame. We'll see that soon. Former White Sox coach. Coached the Marlins. He won a World Series with the Marlins, and he probably gained more fame for telling off Barry Bonds in spring training, a video that keeps circulating. I think it was Yankees and Tigers in a ALCS. And Jim Leland's talking about, you know, they're always playing bullpen roulette in Detroit. Always. And Leland says, no wonder Joe is so calm over there. He's got Rivera. He just sits here, crosses his legs, hands on his lap. He's got Rivera. There's only one of those guys. And see, that's it. There's very few offensive lines like that. So the Bears could use work. They can also cover up for it. But we made a bunch of excuses at every opportunity for Jay Cutler. I don't know that. I don't think we're going to do that. You're going to hear that? Are we going to hear that with Caleb Williams? Or is everything just, well, that's a rookie mistake?
I mean, there's never been a quarterback put in a situation like this, right? Like, how many rookie quarterbacks get handed this much talent right off the bat?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. Like, if things don't work, it should be pretty obviously on him, right? And if it's not corrected quickly.
Mike March used to say, whatever play there's always an answer. Quarterback has to find it. In his designs. And he always had long developing plays. The Bears will not. The answer will usually be DeAndre Swift in the flat. And that's fine. Caleb Williams has to be comfortable taking that. Some quarterbacks are not. Justin Fields was a touchdown to check down kind of guy. You can't totally be that guy. You can't be Mitch Trubisky constantly throwing to the flat or just Allen Robinson. I only have eyes for you. But Caleb Williams has to be able to make, we know he can make all the throws. He has to make all the throws under the pressure in the NFL. And it's not just the pressure. It's what does an open receiver look like in the NFL? What is his learning curve for that? For seeing that a receiver in the NFL is open when he was covered in college. Making that translation and understanding that, among other things. So take a break. We'll see if we have Mark Grody. Sean, did he tell us? Is he still? Where is he?
We should be connected with Mark Grody here this next.
Where in the world is Carmen Mark Grody? It's all right. So we'll discuss all things with Mark Grody. All things Bears. Camp Caleb's underway. What happened? We'll find out next. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's back. Camp Grody. That's what that scream is. Camp Grody from Camp Caleb. Hi, Mark.
Stevie Sunshine. I am outside of Hallis Hall, standing in the sunshine,
see?
Talking to you after the first official Bears practice happened today. It was shorter than the practice. We're going to see as training camp moves on. In 11-on-11, I thought that in the first session, Caleb Williams was playing it safe. A lot of completions on short passes. He did attempt to zip one into the end zone from about 15 yards out and did misconnect with DJ Moore. I think the most interesting play of the day that we saw today, probably, at least through my eyes, was Caleb Williams attempting a pass, and then one of the defensive linemen got a big paw on it, slapped it down, and actually stayed up in the air. Caleb Williams catches it, gets a little forward progress, and runs out of bounds. So Caleb Williams catching his own pass, and it was batted down by a Bears player of consequence this year. All eyes on Jervon Dexter, Stevie, in that three technique position. And I saw Jervon playing a lot of that spot today. Saw a little bit of Zach Pickens doing it, but it does appear, at least on day one, a lot of three technique work from Jervon Dexter, and that's really no big surprise.
I've kind of adopted him as my guy because of his second half that compared better than Jalen Carter, the person every, oh my God, the Bears passed on this guy. I'm going to wet my pants. And his second half was more productive, and he got better. The Montez Sweat effect, but that's supposed to happen. That's why Montez Sweat is there. And the fact that Dexter took advantage of it isn't to be part of it. I know it was He said he was said to look different. So let's start with Dexter now and the way he physically looks. Apparently, he can jump if he got he blocked a pass.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I, looking at him, I couldn't really tell with my. I heard, you know, we reported that in OTAs that they were working with him body wise and stuff like that. I did not see notice at least today or any of the stuff that I've seen like a discernible difference. Is one of those, okay, I'll take your word for it that he's in a different type of shape for Jervon Dexter. But really, this has been, you know, one of the themes that I've been talking about a lot here leading up to training camp is that everybody that I spoke to, including Matt Eberflus, the head coach, Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, the defensive line coach as well, everybody asked all of those guys, is Jervon Dexter the starting free technique? And nobody would completely commit to it. It just sounded like there's that little bit of piece of, we think you're the three technique, but you still got to earn it, and you still have to show us a little bit more than you showed last year. And look, that's not different from too many other defensive linemen who have come into this league and not struggle, because I don't think that that's a fair way to describe Jervon Dexter's year last year. He was okay last year, and you know, now he's got to take the next step, and that's obviously a highly important position. And you know, Justin Jones wasn't great, but he played the position without insulting it, that's for sure. And now you've got Jervon Dexter. And hey, here's the thing too about Dexter, Steve. He's a second round pick. Second round picks are expected to start, and they are expected to thrive. So I think there's a certain justified expectation with Jervon Dexter. He's not nobody, you know? I mean, this is a guy who every time I talk to him, he's somewhere, the conversation always leads to him thinking he should have been a first round pick. So he thinks highly of himself, and I think the Bears do too, but it'll be really fun to watch and finally get to watch this stuff unfold in front of us in camp.
Mark Grody is talking Bears football on the Score. It's what he does. It's what we do here on Saturday Suckage. He's up at Hallis Hall, first day of camp. Caleb, your original tweet, the first one I saw about Caleb's days is passing and you reviewed them, it read to me like, okay, this guy's going to take the check down, which not a lot of quarterbacks, all they want, here's my arm, look at me. And yeah, he took the pass that was there, right guy, right pass, right place. Is did I misread that, or is that a good example, though it may not have been as exciting as 60-yard bombs?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great characterization of it, because, yeah, we all want to see that. We all want to see the Caleb we saw at USC. But, you know, in the questions that I was asking yesterday to Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, I mean, I wanted to ask them, how are you guys going to handle Caleb Williams? And Matt Eberflus's thing, and you're going to hear this a lot, he likes to say level up this year. And that means just be at one level today, and then we'll go up to the next level tomorrow. So maybe this group of practices, maybe today, tomorrow, and the next day, we're going to see this conservative passing game out of Caleb Williams. Then once he masters that, then he'll start to throw downfield a lot. You know, he did throw downfield today. Let me make that very clear. But it seemed to me, and yes, on, you could see it on Twitter, you know, that I did write, and I saw lots of seemingly planned short passes using his running backs. DeAndre Swift caught a pass. Khalil Herbert caught a pass, you know, using those running backs, which were not used effectively, I didn't think, under Justin Fields. And even if you want to go back to Mitch Trubisky as well, although there was the Tariq Cohen effect then, whatever he was, hybrid running back, wide receiver, did it all. But it's going to be interesting to see. And I'm glad you brought up my Twitter, by the way. I've been trying to throw this out there, Stevie, wherever I can. At Mark Grody Sports is under repair right now. It's down. we don't know what's happened to it. I don't know what becomes of my followers.
It's on the pup list?
It's on the pup list. I don't know. So I have started at Grody Sports. So that's legit, folks. If you go on Twitter right now, in between time, you should follow me at Grody Sports. That's where I'm doing all my bear stuff. And if you'd like, I like to put nice, shiny pictures up on Instagram as well. There's one up there right now, just of the lay of the land at Mark_Grody. So I just want to get the word out, because people are like, where is this guy? Why isn't he tweeting? What happened at Mark Grody Sports? I don't know what happened at Mark Grody Sports, but I am tweeting at Grody Sports.
I did that. I heard you and Bernstein yesterday, right?
Oh, yeah. We did a couple days ago. Yeah, it was two days ago. Yeah,
okay,
that was
my... You clarified that, and I thought, that explains it now. I want to follow that, and I should have mentioned that today. I forgot. In my advanced dotage, I forget things.
I have forgotten, too, and it was only, like, the couple days before Bears training camp where I was like, okay, I've tried everything possible to save Mark Grody Sports.
Nope.
I'm going to need to do something new, and I don't think people thought it was really me at there. So I am telling you, I'm here to tell you, I am at Grody Sports. Yes, that is me.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm trying to guess where the next one is. Maybe this should be a score contest. Matt Eberflus, the interim Bears coach, had been part of the culture club, right? Culture, that was his word. Culture, culture, culture. We love
karma,
our culture.
Karma, chameleon.
Right. And now it's level up. So we're talking level 42. So what is the next 80s forgettable group that he will use, that he will quote, that he will channel his inner? What will come next? So he's done culture club. He's done level 42. Now that everybody's leveling up, what happens then? What happens next?
I got to be honest with you. I don't know do I know level 42? Would I know their songs? Like, if I heard a level 42 tune, would I know it?
I don't know. I don't know what you know, Mark.
Okay. Well, no, I'm just saying, like, is it crazy that I don't know? Like, I fancy myself as a pretty big and knowledgeable music fan. I don't know level 42, but it's a good question. It's a very good question. What other 80s bands? And I do like I would love to see Boy George out here. I think that would be great. Have Boy George get some
sort Joe Madden would make that happen.
I tumble for you. Yeah, he would. He would. Joe Madden would definitely make that happen. You'd probably bring in a couple zoo animals, throw in a magician, and you've got yourself a party right there. Or, wait a minute.
Or a pink flamingo.
In the case of Matt Eberflus, I don't know if you heard Flus yesterday, but he had a big pool party with players and coaches, and he had 18 kids in the pool, and he had his own lifeguard out there. So,
Carmen Electra? Was she one of the lifeguards? I mean, just wondering, where is he go Baywatching this whole thing?
Yeah, yes, and Rodman was there as well. Dennis Rodman,
excellent.
Carmen Electra.
Excellent.
You could all put that together. Yep. Okay. Well, we've all seen The Last Dance. Now everybody knows who Carmen Electra is.
There you go. So as your day progressed and you were chasing different people, Keenan Allen, in Camp Caleb, it's all about Caleb. What were Keenan Allen's thoughts after his first training camp practice with the generational quarterback?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, you know, I didn't see Keenan Allen, making any big plays or was not targeted much today. There were no, that I saw anyway, like big-time Keenan Allen highlights today. Again, very conservative day in general. But one of the interesting things that he was just talking about inside Hallis Hall was him and Caleb Williams hanging out in Keenan's hotel room. This was at the time because, you know, he's new to the area. He's been living in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb came to the hotel room. Those two sat around playing Uno all night and studying the playbook, and Caleb throwing stuff out to Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen would then draw up the play. So it's funny, too, because some guys, like, obviously Caleb Williams sounds like a studier, study the playbook, memorize everything. Some players do it like that. Keenan Allen revealed today that he's more of a learn on the field. He's not a bookworm sitting there studying the playbook. He's more, let's figure this out on the field. So it's interesting to hear the different ways that guys learn the playbook, and also interesting to see the bond that Keenan Allen and Caleb Williams have formed in terms of getting together and literally working one-on-one on getting a chemistry off the field, and now it's turning on the field.
Would that help Caleb Williams' cadence?
I mean, it could. I mean, I think if he wants to work with a cadence coach, it should probably be Tevin Jenkins, because when last we spoke to Tevin in the OTAs, he was the one giving examples of how it should be done. And literally...
Really?
Yeah. I would challenge Sean Sears at some point in time during your show today to go back to the last time Tevin Jenkins spoke. Actually, the cut's probably in there. Last time he spoke to the media, he did a practically a symposium on the cadence and yelled it out and talked about what needs to be done and stuff like that. And just to, in terms of the inflection and how loud your voice is, did not have see any issues with the cadence today. So I think that, you know, that's something that it's going to be bumpy along the way. You can't expect it to just all of a sudden be great, but it didn't seem like it was problematic today, at least from what I saw.
So I was catching up with Trushon Sears, the aforementioned producer du jour, and we wanted to give you time to do your job at Halas Hall. Was Jalen Johnson somebody you talked to? Did I hear that right? Or am I in error?
Well, there you go, Steve. You guys are trying to let me do my job, but guess what?
I
think Jalen's probably talking right now.
Oh!
Yeah.
And I blame Sean for... can wait as long as we need to for him to do his job.
Let me try something. I'm going to walk inside of Halas Hall here, and I'm gonna talk very quietly, but I want to see if Jalen is talking.
Get the dump button ready.
Okay, hold on a second. I got to get my badge out here. Okay, there's my access. Okay, here we go.
He beep. It's the Grody beep.
Yep.
At Grody Beep. That's his Twitter handle.
Okay, he is speaking right now. I'm going to go back outside.
Wow, he's already doing the hard knocks thing. He's walking along.
Yeah, there we go.
You're already Mark Grody. He's doing hard knocks.
So I'm sorry I missed you. As I walked into a full house, Jalen Johnson is up there talking right now. Steve, I could tell you that. But as soon as I walked into the media room, everybody turned around and looked at me. I didn't feel welcome, so I'm back outside.
Say hi to the people I like, Mark. Say hi. By the way,
can you tell me who those people are, please?
Well, they'll figure it out. Let's just say hi and then let them worry about it.
They already know.
So all we did was merely talk about Culture Club and Level 42, and our texters for Saturday Suckage on the Suck line are right on top of it. 773. They will definitely have to run the flock of seagulls fly deep play. 229. Ha. The Clash for sure, because Game 6 has London calling. And 217, Simple Minds would be next.
Well, see, first of all, people used to say that, I don't even know his name, but like when I was in college, people used to say I looked like the lead singer of Flock of Seagulls, and I don't even know if that's a good thing, but people used to say that to me.
And I don't know if it's a good thing. Okay.
I don't know if it's a good thing. I mean, you can go look at the picture and decide. I mean, it's probably a very 80s haircut, it'd be my guess. More than anything. But I don't know. Yeah, I like that. Can we work a little Duran Duran in? A little Hungry Like the Wolves, maybe? I don't know if that makes any sense. Well,
I'm trying to figure out. I called up images of Flock of Seagulls, and I'm not sure which one they're talking about they think you look like. But
well, go Flock of Seagulls lead singer. Just Google Flock of Seagulls.
Flock of Seagulls.
I did that, and it's a dude with like a blonde pompadour that's like covering one of his eyes.
Well, you have to find the younger version, because I don't know that I still look like. I'm guessing I don't still look like I looked
bald.
Like when I was 20.
The lead singer.
Okay.
Bald.
Okay, then that's definitely not me. Maybe I got the wrong guy, but I thought it was the Flock of Seagulls lead singer. How does none of us know what the lead singer of the Flock of Seagulls looks like?
No, I did see him. Wasn't he at an Odyssey party? He was at an Odyssey party. He was booked before they changed it, before the oldies version of Odyssey went urban jams, and they were booked, and so they had him play at the party instead of the radio station promotion. And just a bald guy up there singing. I guess you weren't there.
No, I always miss those kinds of things. I get mad when I heard the other day, I heard Spiegel saying that we were talking about the performance studio, because Moline Haw did a show from there recently, kind of a Bears show.
Yeah.
And he was saying how Chris Cornell of Soundgarden, when he was alive, came in there and did a set. And I missed it. And that makes me sad.
Well, you can now go to see Flock of Spiegels. Can't believe I got that out. Oh,
was good.
That's a dad joke. All right.
What we got here? Oh, yeah. You know that song.
See? Eberflus does Culture Club, and then he does Level 42. And so now we have a suggestion for the Eurythmics. Would I Lie to You? Oh, God. First chance they got. So let me ask you something, because we had Mike Mayock on before you go, try to go do your job, and I'm holding you back from that.
Yeah, I'm missing an entire press conference for you people.
Somebody will play it back for you. And so the thing about Mayock was he was a Raiders GM when they were on Hard Knocks, the whole Antonio Brown thing. And he, as a guy, because the team had last cut the way the Bears do, he refused to let NFL Films and the Hard Knocks people in the room when they were cutting people. Because there's always a storyline of one or two bubble players, right? They're going to make it or not, and they pay it off at the end. Yeah. He refused to let them be in the room where they had before. And they were really angry with him. But you made the point. There's like 10 or 12 cameras, boom mics, people out there. What did you see? What Hard Knocks effects did you see in and around Bears practice and post?
Oh, yeah. What did I miss? Did I miss anything good? Okay.
Who are you yelling at?
Jalen Johnson right there. He said, Jalen Johnson just walked outside here where I am. I said, did I miss anything good? And he said, just a little bit. So, see, everybody's coming outside because they want to hang out with me.
Hi.
Yeah. There he goes. Jalen Johnson walking off wearing a white tank top. He has mustard sweats on right now. He's combing his hair. He's wearing gym shoes and heading towards his automobile right now, which will probably whiz past me in a couple of minutes. How do you like that for on-the-ground reporting right there? Jalen Johnson, ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent. And by the way, the guy that you supposedly look like, Sean was right about the guy with the hair over his... He's not bald. He has a blonde faux hawk, the Flock of Seagulls singer. He's not bald. He's a guy with
wasn't there hair a great over line? Wasn't there a great line in Pulp Fiction where he called somebody Flock of Seagulls? Hey, Flock of Seagulls over there when he's doing the Kahuna Burger scene.
Oh.
Didn't he call him Flock of Seagulls? That's coming to my brain now all of a sudden. Settle down over there, Flock of Seagulls.
You know what I saw today was the... It wasn't the coffee scene, but it was in the same kind of thing. Say what one more time?
Yes. Say what again?
Yeah.
Say what again?
What ain't no country I ever heard? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Say what again? Yeah.
I watched that whole scene. I don't know why it was on my Twitter feed, but thank you, whoever put it there.
Say what again?
Say what again?
Double dare you. Say what one more time?
Whoa.
English. Do you speak it?
What the heck is that? Okay, Jalen Johnson is driving out in a three-wheel automobile that is just absolutely sick. Smiling at everybody.
Plymouth Prowler, a Morgan, a three-wheeled Morgan?
I've seen the three-wheelers driving around town, but that one looked like a luxury one. So now I know what Jalen Johnson bought with his new money. this is perfect, too. Okay, so you asked about Hard Knocks earlier. As I'm standing here right now, there is a pack of Hard Knocks reporters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, that are near the players' parking lot. They're getting into a golf cart right now. They look a little fatigued. I will tell you, their presence was massive on the sidelines today. And like you said, getting the boom mics, trying to intercept conversations. The Hard Knocks people look very serious and very stressed. That's how I would describe them on my day one experience with HBO Hard Knocks and their golf cart right now. They're making a U-turn, and now they're going away from me. Okay, they don't want any part of me. No part of me.
Oh, boy, the Hard Knockers don't know what they're missing.
The Hard Knockers.
Yeah.
But they're for real, man. They're for real.
Spectacular.
I can't give you any insight on what they're interested in yet. Literally watching it felt like they're focused today, obviously filming practice, but anytime there was a group of group of Bears players talking to each other, you would see them take the long extended pole with the fuzzy boom mic on the end and just kind of drop it down to see if they can get some good combo. So that's the that's the day one HBO look.
All right. Good 90s band. Fuzzy Boom Mike.
Oh, another one.
Fuzzy Boom Mike.
Yeah.
All right. We'll let you go do your job. I really appreciate you.
No, the job's over now.
That's it. I've lost my job.
Seriously. Players are literally going home in front of me. I am literally watching players go to their cars and drive out of Lake Forest right now. So you've taken up all of my work time. let Mitch and Ryan know.
We have it on tape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We have it on tape. We have audio evidence. We'll play it for them.
Yes, I was still rolling, luckily. Now I am going to go listen and hear what the always entertaining Jalen Johnson had to say. But no other reporters got to see the automobile that I saw Jalen Johnson take off in.
We got it. Score it. Fellow Succageers got it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yep, you got it, Steve.
All right. Mark Grody. He's up at Hallis Hall. That was great. Day one of Camp Caleb. Excellent. Top of the hour, talk with Tony Andracki of Marquee. We'll talk about, as one texter put it, suckitude. We'll talk about Cubs. We'll talk about Cubs Diamondbacks game two. Kyle Hendricks in a lead of start of a lifetime. Right? No. Well, it's important. So we'll talk to Tony about that. And this broadcasting note. Tonight, Cubs and Diamondbacks continue their series from Wrigley Field. The Score will have the only local broadcast of the game. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:40 with the first pitch at 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. We'll take a break when we come back. I have an idea for Craig Council. I'll share it with Sean, who's one of our remaining Cub fans here. One of the, he's the only producer in the booth, and he's got a Cubs hat on, so he's our Cub fan. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. We'll talk with Tony Andracki of Marquee. At top of the hour, talk Cubs. Cubs Diamondbacks. Kyle Hendricks goes today, tries to save the Cubs season. I guess we said that about everybody pitching. Justin Steele couldn't. So, saving the season, we're halfway through. Sean, do you remember in 2015, the most significant move we saw from the manager was sitting through about half a season, the first 4 months. Joe Maddon saw and saw and saw and watched and had his answers. And come first week of August, a series against the Giants, starting Castro was benched. His starting shortstop, his future. He and Rizzo were the guys, right?
Yes, that's right.
Right? Starting Castro gets benched in favor of Addison Russell. And I think it was that Friday game, Thursday game or Friday game. It was the start of a series against the Giants. They were trailing the Giants in the wild card. And Jason Hamill got pulled in the fourth inning, down a run or two. And you could see the thought bubble over Hamill, like whiskey, tango, foxtrot. And Joe Maddon said, and would make the point with his moves and with his words, we are in a wild card race. There's no room for any of this. We're playing our best players. If you're not it, we'll find someone who will be. And they swept the Giants. They took over the wild card. They never gave it back. Craig Council, does he need to do that? Could he do that? What would that move be? You're a Cub fan, Sean. Tell us, what could, should Craig Council do? What if he was going to go full Maddon? What would that be? How would he do it?
Man, I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like the Cubs' best chance to like turning the season around is someone like Christopher Morel or Cody Bellinger or Seiya Suzuki getting hot. They need to score a ton of runs. But I don't know if there's someone you could just take, plug in, and go. It would have to be like Alexander Canario or someone comes up from the minor leagues and heats up. But like, I feel like it's like you're saying, hey, Christopher Morel, you're a third baseman. Show us what you got. Maybe
it's not one. It's a whole bunch of them. They all got to do this. I know, yeah. Bellinger carried them last year. And that was the fool's gold that it turned out to be. And they have sucked since the middle of last September. I mean, okay, maybe a good month and early on. Oh, surprise. Oh, now they're back to, well, what are these guys? Let's ask Tony Andracki of Marquee. Cubs, Diamondbacks later on. Kyle Hendricks going. The Score will carry the game. 5:40 is a pregame show. 6:15, first pitch. Let's talk about it with Tony Andracki of Marquee. Next, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It is a balance. You know, you talk about a guy, for example, like Keenan, you know, he's been playing for a long time. You know, is he going to get reps? You know, we'll just have to discuss that. You know what I mean? And but you're always looking at the line, right? The protection part of it, that's the big piece of it. And we'll just see where it is.
That is interim Bears coach Matt Eberflus talking about playing time in the preseason. We'll talk about playing time in the preseason. Right now, Mark Grody is playing the hits. There was Jalen Johnson was holding a court, and so Grody's over there. And there was it Keenan Allen or was it DJ Moore?
Where
there was
Keenan Allen.
And so we're pushing Mark back until he's can catch his breath from all of these interviews in the first practice of Camp Caleb.
He's a busy guy, that Mark Grody.
Yes, he is. He's a Bears training camp, and I should remind all of you suckageers of this. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Bears. Okay, so Mark tweeted out, Ryan Bates played center for the Bears on day one of camp. Everything else was standard. Braxton Jones at left tackle, Tevin Jenkins at left guard, Nate Davis right guard, Darnell Wright at right tackle. Nate Davis, he's supposed to be there, but he's not always there, but he was there. Kevin Fishbane tweeted out something. And I talked about this months ago, and I'm going to bring this up again. Montez Sweat said defensive tackle Javon Dexter did the conditioning test with the defensive ends. Quote, he definitely made a transformation. I pointed out in the last half of the season, remember the guy, all the Jalen Carter? Oh, my God, you missed on a generational player. He's the guy. He's going to be Terry Party. Warren Sapp. Tommy Harris. He's that guy. Well, for about six games, he was. In the second half of the year, Javon Dexter was better. His numbers were better. Javon Dexter was coming on. Sure, he benefited by Montez Sweat. They all did. But you're supposed to. That's the way it works. It's a symbiotic relationship. That's how it happens. Complementary football is not just offensive defense. It's defensive ends and defensive tackles. And Javon Dexter is, he's going to have every chance to be that three technique. And we'll have Les explain the three technique later on. Roma Dunze was attending a funeral, according to Patrick Finley. He tweeted out, Bears rookie wide receiver Roma Dunze is expected back tomorrow. After missing today with what the team called a personal matter, he's attending a funeral. Nate Davis was indeed a full participant at practice. There's actual video of it, so we have evidence that he was there. See if he can make it 2 days in a row. We came into this talking about playing time. You know, the Bears have four preseason games. Talking to Mike Mayock about playing time in the fourth preseason game. He loves the idea, obviously, four preseason games, but the last one on a Thursday. And having more than 2 weeks, having 17 days till they actually kick it off in anger. And allowing Caleb Williams the time to get more snaps. And I could see, you could hear the argument going on in Matt Eberflus's head. Well, does Keenan Allen need snaps? No, he doesn't. But Caleb Williams needs snaps, and he needs snaps with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and the whole bunch of them. So he used wisely and surprisingly a measuring stick from last year, and he pointed out C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, all rookie quarterbacks last year, 45 to 55 reps in the next month for Williams. That's what they found they did last year. Jordan Love in particular played more. Wani was on up. He's got statistics. Wani was on with Mully and Haw, and he made the point, Jordan Love last year played 40% of the Packers' offensive snaps preseason. Justin Fields played 13%. And that percentage, that statistic, sticks with Wani because Justin Fields needed more than that, and the Bears' offense sucked. They spent a month sucking, which was good for us, good for the show, staying on brand. The Bears sucked. It appears Eberflus has maybe learned something. Now, the interim Bears coach is not often accused of that, but this might be the case. Jordan Love played 8 series last year in 3 games, and he did play all 3 games. In fact, he played 3 series in the 3rd game when a lot of teams would, you would think, because it's the last preseason game, give their guys time off. But the Packers know what they're doing. Anytime the Bears can copy the Packers, except when it comes to an offensive coordinator who had never called plays and a center who shouldn't have been a center. But other than that, that's not why you called. Jordan Love played 8 series last year in 3 preseason games. He led scoring drives on half of them. 3 TDs and a field goal. A TD pass in every game. So the Bears have 4. That's ample time to give Caleb Williams a chance to play in maybe 10 possessions. He'll need all of them.
You're both crazy.
How can you say that?
I just did. Watch my lips. Better.
Caleb Williams is not going to get better at playing football unless he plays football. And Eberflus was, seemed like he was trying to massage it yesterday. Well, he can get more out of controlled scrimmages and he can play against a better defense when he's playing against a Bears defense. Look, you're rarely going to hit in games you always hit. I could see why Eberflus is saying that, but Bears fans are too smart to believe the interim coach. Nothing matches the adrenaline of game day. It just doesn't. And the kid who has never played in an NFL game needs to play a lot in the NFL. And all those games that are there, they're free games, they're free playing time. They're better than the choreography of Halas Hall up there now and tomorrow and on until they actually hit somebody. So when all this came up yesterday, DJ Moore did not look happy about playing, about more playing time in preseason games, more work for the offense. Cole Kmet, you can tell he wasn't happy. He said, well, I just work here. I am just listening to the boss. He's the coach. We do what he wants. But the idea of not playing much in preseason, not a lot of snaps, that was last year's approach. Moore and Kmet were here, and Moore and Kmet's team sucked. Moore and Kmet's team sucked for an entire month, which included they eventually blow a 21-point lead to Russell Wilson and the winless Broncos at home. You can't get better at football unless you play football. And the Bears didn't play much football when their games were there, and they sucked in the first month. So, on the other hand, Moore and Kmet, when they were talking yesterday to the media, they seem to understand the urgency, the necessity. They're going to have to play, like it or not. New offensive coordinator, new quarterback, a lot of new players. DJ Moore was asked for a reasonable timeline for the Bears to get comfortable in Waldron's offense. He was asked yesterday, and his answer was tomorrow. That would be today. Cole Kmet said, yeah, now, the urgency. We've got to get this thing going quickly. There's not going to be time to meander through this thing. We've seen the Bears meander. They thought they could meander for the first month. And in September, the coach should have been fired. He still should be fired. The interim coach should not be there, but he is. Ryan Poles' choice. Cole Kmet continuing here. We've got to operate at a high level. We've got to really take advantage of our walkthroughs at night. The better we are through these things, the faster we can be on game day, but it's got to happen quickly. You can make what you want of walkthroughs, Cole Kmet. Nothing happens to make it quicker than games. Actual snaps. Adrenaline-pumping snaps. An enemy set to destroy you. Somebody trying to hurt you. That kind of pressure. That kind of gearing up. That kind of owning a huddle, in Caleb Williams' case, in the heat of a real game. And then finding the making the anticipatory throw, knowing when his target will cut and putting it right there, knowing where and who his targets are. Knowing there's DeAndre Swift in the flat, take that. That's a long handoff. It always was in the West Coast offense. It still will be. And we'll get a report from Mark Grody when Mark's available. That seemed to be Caleb's choice today. Actually, an excellent sign. Now, if he can do that under pressure. The point of all of this is, however they dole out reps, it's all you can eat for Caleb Williams. He'll need it. The expectations are such that the Bears talked about, hey, Ryan Poles, our goal is to win the Super Bowl. We're going to take the division. Bears players talked about the playoffs. Yeah. What are we waiting for? There was a 7-win team last year with a quarterback who can't play quarterback in the NFL. Now they have a guy who is supposed to be terrific, if not generational, at the most important position there. And he walks in with the best set of weapons any number one overall pick has. And anything he's been surrounded with. Veterans, young guys, all adding better traits, qualities, a better threat, a bigger threat than what we've seen. It's almost as if they wiped away all the excuses. That's what we wanted. Remember when Culler was here and all that arm talent and he looked like a quarterback and he threw like a quarterback and we heard excuse after excuse. Sean Sears' quarterback, Jay Cutler, was, right? We got to, you remember OB and Doug on the postgame show? I got to protect these guys. This guy needs some help on the offense. Yeah, well, that's true. Every quarterback does. And then get him weapons. But he had weapons. He had Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett. And how'd that work out for everybody?
They still kind of sucked.
That's your quarterback. It's the prime quarterback. That's your answer to what happened to Green Bay. That's the Favre, Rodgers, Jordan Love thing. You have Jay Cutler. Right? I mean, what else you got?
Caleb Haney looked good for maybe like a couple, you know, a couple series maybe in that NFC title game.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's it. That's all I got, man.
And I'm saying there were excuses made and I was there. I followed that whole line of like, look at all his talent. He looks like a quarterback. Bears have a quarterback. Look at that arm. And look at those legs, right? Those legs were really on display the first time Mike Martz was calling plays in an exhibition game against San Diego and Ron Rivera. Not that he had a grudge to hold. He was blitzing in the first preseason game. Jay Cutler was out after three plays, after running out of bounds three times. Well, you got to expect the Bears' offensive line to be better than that. You got to expect your running backs to be able to pick up the blitz. Your two-night tight end, Gerald Everett, did not practice today. We'll find out why later on. But Cole Kmet's there and ready and a top 10 tight end. And they'll protect this guy. But I was there making excuses, the Cutler-like excuses, that you can't make for, you shouldn't make. For Caleb Williams. Now, the offensive line could be better. Sure. I think so many people say that, like in every city, couldn't the offensive line be better? Does that go for every team, Sean, do you think? Every offensive line? Yeah, our offensive line could be better.
Yeah, I'm sure every team feels like their offensive line isn't as good as it should be or needs to be. Everyone wants what Philly had for a couple seasons or what, you know, San Francisco has now. But
what Tom Brady always had, however they managed to do it, right?
Gosh, he always had an elite tackle guard, something on that line that was going to help them, you know, make sure that guy didn't get smacked and stayed pretty.
There's few exceptions. Offensive lines are like bullpens, right? You got a handful.
That's a good comp.
A handful that are So Tom Brady got to stand back there and play quarterback. I remember, speaking of bullpens, Jim Leland going into the Hall of Fame. We'll see that soon. Former White Sox coach. Coached the Marlins. He won a World Series with the Marlins, and he probably gained more fame for telling off Barry Bonds in spring training, a video that keeps circulating. I think it was Yankees and Tigers in a ALCS. And Jim Leland's talking about, you know, they're always playing bullpen roulette in Detroit. Always. And Leland says, no wonder Joe's so calm over there. He's got Rivera. He just sits here, crosses his legs, hands on his lap. He's got Rivera. There's only one of those guys. And see, that's it. There's very few offensive lines like that. So the Bears could use work. They can also cover up for it. But we made a bunch of excuses at every opportunity for Jay Cutler. I don't know that. I don't think we're going to do that. You're going to hear that? Are we going to hear that with Caleb Williams? Or is everything just, well, that's a rookie mistake?
I mean, there's never been a quarterback put in a situation like this, right? Like, how many rookie quarterbacks get handed this much talent right off the bat?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. Like, if things don't work, it should be pretty obviously on him, right? And if it's not corrected quickly.
Mike March used to say, whatever play there is, there's always an answer. Quarterback has to find it. In his designs. And he always had long developing plays. The Bears will not. The answer will usually be DeAndre Swift in the flat. And that's fine. Caleb Williams has to be comfortable taking that. Some quarterbacks are not. Justin Fields was a touchdown to check down kind of guy. You can't totally be that guy. You can't be Mitch Trubisky constantly throwing to the flat or just Allen Robinson. I only have eyes for you. But Caleb Williams has to be able to make, we know he can make all the throws. He has to make all the throws under the pressure in the NFL. And it's not just the pressure. It's what does an open receiver look like in the NFL? What is his learning curve for that? For seeing that a receiver in the NFL is open when he was covered in college, making that translation and understanding that, among other things. So take a break. We'll see if we have Mark Grody. Sean, did he tell us? Is he still? Where is he?
We should be connected with Mark Grody here this next.
Where in the world is Carmen Mark Grody? It's all right. So we'll discuss all things with Mark Grody, all things Bears. Camp Caleb's underway. What happened? We'll find out next. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's back! Camp Grody. That's what that scream is. Camp Grody from Camp Caleb. Hi, Mark.
Stevie Sunshine, I am outside of Hallis Hall, standing in the sunshine,
see?
Talking to you after the first official Bears practice happened today. It was shorter than the practice we're going to see as training camp moves on. In 11-on-11, I thought that in the first session, Caleb Williams was playing it safe. A lot of completions on short passes. He did attempt to zip one into the end zone from about 15 yards out and did misconnect with DJ Moore. I think the most interesting play of the day that we saw today, probably, at least through my eyes, was Caleb Williams attempting a pass, and then one of the defensive linemen got a big paw on it, slapped it down, and actually stayed up in the air. Caleb Williams catches it, gets a little forward progress, and runs out of bounds. So Caleb Williams catching his own pass, and it was batted down by a Bears player of consequence this year. All eyes on Jervon Dexter, Stevie, in that three technique position, and I saw Jervon playing a lot of that spot today. Saw a little bit of of Zach Pickens doing it, but it does appear, at least on day one, a lot of three technique work from Jervon Dexter, and that's really no big surprise.
I've kind of adopted him as my guy because of his second half that compared better than Jalen Carter, the person every, oh my God, the Bears passed on this guy, I'm going to wet my pants. And his second half was more productive, and he got better, the Montez Sweat effect, but that's supposed to happen. That's why Montez Sweat is there, and the fact that Dexter took advantage of it isn't to be part of it. I know he was said to look different, so let's start with Dexter now and the way he physically looks. Apparently he can jump if he blocked a pass.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, looking at him, I couldn't really tell with my – I heard, you know, we reported that in OTAs that they were working with him body-wise and stuff like that. I did not notice, at least today or any of the stuff that I've seen, like a discernible difference. It was one of those, okay, I'll take your word for it, that he's in a different type of shape for Jervon Dexter. But really, this has been, you know, one of the themes that I've been talking about a lot here leading up to training camp, is that everybody that I spoke to, including Matt Eberflus, the head coach, Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, the defensive line coach as well, everybody asked, all of those guys, is Jervon Dexter the starting free technique? And nobody would completely commit to it. It just sounded like there's that little bit of piece of, we think you're the three technique, but you still got to earn it, and you still have to show us a little bit more than you showed last year. And look, that's not different from too many other defensive linemen who have come into this league and not struggle, because I don't think that that's a fair way to describe Jervon Dexter's year last year. He was okay last year, and you know, now he's got to take the next step, and that's obviously a highly important position. And you know, Justin Jones wasn't great, but he played the position without insulting it, that's for sure. And now you've got Jervon Dexter. And hey, here's the thing too about Dexter, Steve. He's a second round pick. Second round picks are expected to start, and they are expected to thrive. So I think there's a certain justified expectation with Jervon Dexter. He's not nobody, you know? I mean, this is a guy who, every time I talk to him, he's somewhere, the conversation always leads to him thinking he should have been a first round pick. So he thinks highly of himself, and I think the Bears do too, but it'll be really fun to watch and finally get to watch this stuff unfold in front of us in camp.
Mark Grody is talking Bears football on the Score. It's what he does. It's what we do here on Saturday Suckage. He's up at Hallis Hall, first day of camp. Caleb, your original tweet, the first one I saw about Caleb's days is passing, and you reviewed them, it read to me like, okay, this guy's going to take the check down, which not a lot of quarterbacks, all they want, here's my arm, look at me. And yeah, he took the pass that was there, right guy, right pass, right place. Did I misread that, or is that a good example, though it may not have been as exciting as 60-yard bombs?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great characterization of it, because, yeah, we all want to see that. We all want to see the Caleb we saw at USC. But, you know, in the questions that I was asking yesterday to Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, I mean, I wanted to ask them, how are you guys going to handle Caleb Williams? And Matt Eberflus's thing, and you're going to hear this a lot, he likes to say level up this year. And that means just be at one level today, and then we'll go up to the next level tomorrow. So maybe this group of practices, maybe today, tomorrow, and the next day, we're going to see this conservative passing game out of Caleb Williams. Then once he masters that, then he'll start to throw downfield a lot. You know, he did throw downfield today. Let me make that very clear. But it seemed to me, and yes, you could see it on Twitter, you know, that I did write, and I saw lots of seemingly planned short passes using his running backs. DeAndre Swift caught a pass. Khalil Herbert caught a pass, you know, using those running backs, which were not used effectively, I didn't think, under Justin Fields. And even if you want to go back to Mitch Trubisky as well, although there was the Tariq Cohen effect then, whatever he was, hybrid running back, wide receiver, did it all. But it's going to be interesting to see. And I'm glad you brought up my Twitter, by the way. I've been trying to throw this out there, Stevie, wherever I can. At Mark Grody Sports is under repair right now. It's down. we don't know what's happened to it. I don't know what becomes of my followers.
It's on the pup list?
It's on the pup list. I don't know. So I have started at Grody Sports. So that's legit, folks. If you go on Twitter right now, in between time, you should follow me at Grody Sports. That's where I'm doing all my bear stuff. And if you'd like, I like to put nice, shiny pictures up on Instagram as well. There's one up there right now, just of the lay of the land at Mark_Grody. So I just want to get the word out because people are like, where is this guy? Why isn't he tweeting? What happened to at Mark Grody Sports? I don't know what happened at Mark Grody Sports, but I am tweeting at Grody Sports.
I did that. I heard you and Bernstein yesterday, right?
Was oh, yeah, you? Yeah, yeah. We did a couple days ago. Yeah, it was two
right.
days ago. Yeah,
okay,
that was my...
You clarified that, and I thought, oh, well, I'm... No, that explains it now. I want to follow that, and I should have mentioned that today. I forgot. In my advanced dotage, I forget things.
I have forgotten, too, and it was only, like, the couple days before Bears training camp where I was like, okay, I've tried everything possible to save Mark Grody Sports.
Nope.
I'm going to need to do something new, and I don't think people thought it was really me at there. So I am telling you, I'm here to tell you, I am at Grody Sports. Yes, that is me.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm trying to guess where the next one is. Maybe this should be a score contest. Matt Eberflus, the interim Bears coach, had been part of the culture club, right? Culture, that was his word. Culture, culture, culture. We love
karma,
our culture.
Karma, chameleon.
Right. And now it's level up. So we're talking level 42. So what is the next 80s forgettable group that he will use, that he will quote, that he will channel his inner? What will come next? So he's done culture club. He's done level 42. Now that everybody's leveling up, what happens then? What happens next?
I got to be honest with you. I don't know do I know level 42? Would I know their songs? Like, if I heard a level 42 tune, would I know it?
I don't know. I don't know what you know, Mark.
Okay. Well, no, I'm just saying, like, is it crazy that I don't know? Like, I fancy myself as a pretty big and knowledgeable music fan. I don't know level 42, but... It's a good question. It's a very good question. What other 80s bands? And I do like I would love to see Boy George out here. I think that would be great. Have Boy George give some
Joe
sort
Madden
of
would make that happen.
I tumble for you. Yeah, he would. He would. Joe Madden would definitely make that happen. He'd probably bring in a couple zoo animals, throw in a magician, and you've got yourself a party right there. Or, wait a minute.
Or a pink flamingo.
In the case of Matt Eberflus, I don't know if you heard Flus yesterday, but he had a big pool party with players and coaches, mm-hmm. and he had 18 kids in the pool, and he had his own lifeguard out there. So,
Carmen Electra, was she one of the lifeguards? I mean, just wondering, where is he go Baywatching this whole thing?
Yeah, yes, and Rodman was there as well. Dennis Rodman,
excellent.
Carmen Electra.
Excellent.
You could all put that together. Yep. Okay. Well, we've all seen The Last Dance. Now everybody knows who Carmen Electra is.
There you go. So as your day progressed and you were chasing different people, Keenan Allen. So, and I guess in Camp Caleb, it's all about Caleb. What were Keenan Allen's thoughts after his first training camp practice with the generational quarterback?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, you know, I didn't see Keenan Allen, you know, making any big plays or was not targeted much today. There were no, that I saw anyway, like big time Keenan Allen highlights today. Again, very conservative day in general. But one of the interesting things that he was just talking about inside Hallis Hall was him and Caleb Williams hanging out in Keenan's hotel room. This was at the time because, you know, he's new to the area. He's been living in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Caleb came to the hotel room. Those two sat around playing Uno all night and studying the playbook, and Caleb throwing stuff out to Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen would then draw up the play. So it's funny, too, because some guys, like, obviously Caleb Williams sounds like a studier, study the playbook, memorize everything. Some players do it like that. Keenan Allen revealed today that he's more of a learn on the field. He's not a bookworm sitting there studying the playbook. He's more, let's figure this out on the field. So it's interesting to hear the different ways that guys learn the playbook, and also interesting to see the bond that Keenan Allen and Caleb Williams have formed in terms of getting together and literally working one-on-one on getting a chemistry off the field, and now it's turning on the field.
Would that help Caleb Williams' cadence?
I mean, It could. I mean, I think if he wants to work with a cadence coach, it should probably be Tevin Jenkins, because when last we spoke to Tevin in the OTAs, he was the one giving examples of how it should be done. And literally.
Really?
Yeah. I would challenge Sean Sears at some point in time during your show today to go back to the last time Tevin Jenkins spoke. Actually, the cut's probably in there. Last time he spoke to the media, he did a practically a symposium on the cadence and yelled it out and talked about what needs to be done and stuff like that. And just in terms of the inflection and how loud your voice is, did not see any issues with the cadence today. So I think that, you know, that's something that it's going to be bumpy along the way. You can't expect it to just all of a sudden be great. But it didn't seem like it was problematic today, at least from what I saw.
So I was catching up with through Sean Sears, the aforementioned producer du jour, and we wanted to give you time to do your job at Halas Hall. Was Jalen Johnson somebody you talked to? Did I hear that right? Or am I in error?
Well, there you go, Steve. You guys are trying to let me do my job, but guess what?
I
think Jalen's probably talking right now.
Oh!
Yeah.
And I blame Sean for, can wait as long as we need to for him to do his job.
Let me try something. I'm going to walk inside of Halas Hall here, and I'm gonna talk very quietly, but I want to see if Jalen is talking.
Get the dump button ready.
Okay, hold on a second. I got to get my badge out here. Okay, there's my access. Okay, here we go.
He beep. It's the Grody beep.
Yep.
At Grody Beep. That's his Twitter handle.
Okay, he is speaking right now. I'm going to go back outside.
Wow, he's already doing the hard knocks thing. He's walking along.
Yeah, there we go.
You're already Mark Grody. He's doing hard knocks.
So I'm sorry I missed you. As I walked into a full house, Jalen Johnson is up there talking right now. Steve, I could tell you that. But as soon as I walked into the media room, everybody turned around and looked at me. I didn't feel welcome, so I'm back outside.
Say hi to the people I like, Mark. Say hi. By the way,
can you tell me who those people are, please?
Well, they'll figure it out. Let's just say hi and then let them worry about it.
They already know.
So all we did was merely talk about Culture Club and Level 42, and our texters for Saturday Suckage on the Suck line are right on top of it. 773. They will definitely have to run the flock of seagulls fly deep play. 229. Ha. The Clash for sure, because Game 6 has London calling. And 217, Simple Minds would be next.
Well, see, first of all, people used to say that, I don't even know his name, but like when I was in college, people used to say I looked like the lead singer of Flock of Seagulls, and I don't even know if that's a good thing, but people used to say that to me.
And I don't know if it's a good thing. Okay.
I don't know if it's a good thing. I mean, you can go look at the picture and decide. I mean, it's probably a very 80s haircut, it'd be my guess. More than anything. But I don't know. Yeah, I like that. Can we work a little Duran Duran in? A little Hungry Like the Wolves, maybe? I don't know if that makes any sense. Well,
I'm trying to figure out. I called up images of Flock of Seagulls, and I'm not sure which one they're talking about they think you look like. But
well, go Flock of Seagulls lead singer. Just Google Flock of Seagulls.
Seagulls.
I did that, and it's a dude with like a blonde pompadour that's like covering one of his eyes.
Well, you have to find the younger version, because I don't know that I still look like. I'm guessing I don't still look like I looked
bald.
Like when I was 20.
The lead singer.
Okay.
Bald.
Okay, then that's definitely not me. But maybe I got the wrong guy. But I thought it was the Flock of Seagulls lead singer. How does none of us know what the lead singer of the Flock of Seagulls looks like?
No, I did see him. Wasn't he at an Odyssey party? He was at an Odyssey party. He was booked before they changed it, before the oldies version of Odyssey went urban jams, and they were booked, and so they had him play at the party instead of the radio station promotion. And just bald guy up there singing. I guess you weren't there.
No, I always miss those kinds of things. I get mad when I heard the other day, I heard Spiegel saying that we were talking about the performance studio, because Moline Haw did a show from there recently, kind of a Bears show.
Yeah.
And he was saying how Chris Cornell, the Soundgarden, when he was alive, came in there and did a set. And I missed it. And that makes me sad.
Well, you can now go to see Flock of Spiegels.
Flock of Seagulls.
Can't believe I got that out. Oh, that's
that was good.
That's a dad joke. All right.
What we got here? Oh, yeah. You know that song.
See? Eberflus does Culture Club, and then he does Level 42. And so now we have a suggestion for the Eurythmics, Would I Lie to You? Oh, God, first chance they got. So let me ask you something, because we had Mike Mayock on before you go, try to go do your job, and I'm holding you back from that.
Yeah, I'm missing an entire press conference for you people.
Somebody will play it back for you. And so the thing about Mayock was he was a Raiders GM when they were on Hard Knocks, the whole Antonio Brown thing. And he, as a guy, because the team had last cut the way the Bears do, he refused to let NFL Films and the Hard Knocks people in the room when they were cutting people. Because there's always a storyline of one or two bubble players, right? They're going to make it or not, and they pay it off at the end. Yeah. He refused to let them be in the room where they had before. And they were really angry with him. But you made the point. There's like 10 or 12 cameras, boom mics, people out there. What did you see? What Hard Knocks effects did you see in and around Bears practice and post?
Oh, yeah. What did I miss? Did I miss anything good? Okay.
Who are you yelling at?
Jalen Johnson right there. He said, Jalen Johnson just walked outside here where I am. I said, did I miss anything good? And he said, just a little bit. So, see, everybody's coming outside because they want to hang out with me.
Hi.
Yeah. There he goes. Jalen Johnson walking off wearing a white tank top. He has mustard sweats on right now. He's combing his hair. He's wearing gym shoes and heading towards his automobile right now, which will probably whiz past me in a couple of minutes. How do you like that for on-the-ground reporting right there? Jalen Johnson, ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent. And by the way, the guy that you supposedly look like, Sean was right about the guy with the hair over his... He's not bald. He has a blonde faux hawk, the Flock of Seagulls singer.
And
he's not bald. He's a guy with
wasn't there
hair
a great
over
line? Wasn't there a great line in Pulp Fiction where he called somebody Flock of Seagulls? Hey, Flock of Seagulls over there when he's doing the Kahuna Burger scene.
Oh.
Didn't he call him Flock of Seagulls? That's coming to my brain now all of a sudden. Settle down over there, Flock of Seagulls.
You know what I saw today was the... It wasn't the coffee scene, but it was in the same kind of thing. Say what one more time.
Yes. Yeah, say what again.
Yeah.
Say what again.
What ain't no country I ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Say what again. Yeah.
I watched that whole scene. I don't know why it was on my Twitter feed, but thank you, whoever put it there.
Say what again.
Say what again.
Double dare you. Say what one more time.
Whoa.
English. Do you speak it?
What the heck is that? Okay, Jalen Johnson is driving out in a three-wheel automobile that is just absolutely sick. Smiling at everybody.
Plymouth Prowler, a Morgan, a three-wheeled Morgan?
I've seen the three-wheelers driving around town, but that one looked like a luxury one. So now I know what Jalen Johnson bought with his new money. this is perfect, too. Okay, so you asked about Hard Knocks earlier. As I'm standing here right now, there is a pack of Hard Knocks reporters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, that are near the players' parking lot. They're getting into a golf cart right now. They look a little fatigued. I will tell you, their presence was massive on the sidelines today. And like you said, getting the boom mics, trying to intercept conversations. The Hard Knocks people look very serious and very stressed. That's how I would describe them on my day one experience with HBO Hard Knocks and their golf cart right now. They're making a U-turn, and now they're going away from me. Okay, they don't want any part of me. No part of me.
Oh, boy, the Hard Knockers don't know what they're missing.
The Hard Knockers.
Yeah.
But they're for real, man. They're for real.
Spectacular.
I can't give you any insight on what they're interested in yet. Literally watching it felt like they're focused today, obviously filming practice, but anytime there was a group of group of Bears players talking to each other, you would see them take the long extended pole with the fuzzy boom mic on the end and just kind of drop it down to see if they can get some good combo. So that's the that's the day one HBO look.
All right. Good 90s band. Fuzzy Boom Mike.
Oh, another one.
Fuzzy Boom Mike.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll let you go do your job. I really appreciate you.
No, the job's over now. No,
job's over. That's it. I've lost my job.
Seriously, like players are literally going home in front of me. Like I'm literally watching players go to their cars and drive out of Lake Forest right now. So you've taken up all of my work time. let Mitch and Ryan know.
We have it on tape.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We have it on tape. We have audio evidence. We'll play it for them.
Yes, I was still rolling, luckily. Now I am going to go listen and hear what the always entertaining Jalen Johnson had to say. But no other reporters got to see the automobile that I saw Jalen Johnson take off in.
We got it. Fellow Succageers got it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yep, you got it, Steve.
All right. Mark Grody up at Hallis Hall. That was great. Day one of camp, Caleb. Excellent. Top of the hour, talk with Tony Andracki of Marquee. We'll talk about, as one texter put it, suckitude. We'll talk about Cubs. We'll talk about Cubs Diamondbacks game two. Kyle Hendricks in a lead of start of a lifetime. Right? No. Well, it's important. So we'll talk to Tony about that. And this broadcasting note. Tonight, Cubs and Diamondbacks continue their series from Wrigley Field. The Score will have the only local broadcast of the game. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:40 with the first pitch at 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We'll take a break when we come back. I have an idea for Craig Council. I'll share it with Sean, who's one of our remaining Cub fans here. He's the only producer in the booth, and he's got a Cubs hat on, so he's our Cub fan. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. We'll talk with Tony Andracki of Marquee. At top of the hour, talk Cubs. Cubs Diamondbacks. Kyle Hendricks goes today, tries to save the Cubs season. I guess we said that about everybody pitching. Justin Steele couldn't. So, saving the season, we're halfway through. Sean, do you remember in 2015, the most significant move we saw from the manager was sitting through about half a season, the first 4 months. Joe Maddon saw and saw and saw and watched and had his answers. And come first week of August, a series against the Giants, starting Castro was benched. His starting shortstop, his future. He and Rizzo were the guys, right?
Yes, that's right.
Right? Starting Castro gets benched in favor of Addison Russell. And I think it was that Friday game, Thursday game or Friday game. It was the start of a series against the Giants. They were trailing the Giants in the wild card. And Jason Hammel got pulled in the fourth inning, down a run or two, and you could see the thought bubble over Hammel, like whiskey tango foxtrot. And Joe Maddon said, and would make the point with his moves and with his words, we are in a wild card race. There's no room for any of this. We're playing our best players. If you're not it, we'll find someone who will be. And they swept the Giants. They took over the wild card. They never gave it back. Craig Council, does he need to do that? Could he do that? What would that move be? You're a Cub fan, Sean. Tell us, what could, should Craig Council do? What if he was going to go full Maddon? What would that be? How would he do it?
Man, I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like the Cubs' best chance to like turning the season around is someone like Christopher Morel or Cody Bellinger or Seiya Suzuki getting hot. They need to score a ton of runs. But I don't know if there's someone you could just take, plug in, and go. It would have to be like Alexander Canario or someone comes up from the minor leagues and heats up. But like, I feel like it's like you're saying, hey, Christopher Morel, you're a third baseman. Show us what you got. Maybe
it's not one. It's a whole bunch of them. They all got to do this. I know Bellinger carried them last year. And that was the fool's gold that it turned out to be. And they have sucked since the middle of last September. I mean, okay, maybe a good month and early on. Oh, surprise. Oh, now they're back to, well, what are these guys? Let's ask Tony Andracki of Marquee. Cubs, Diamondbacks later on. Kyle Hendricks going. The Score will carry the game. 5:40 is a pregame show. 6:15, first pitch. Let's talk about it with Tony Andracki of Marquee. Next, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.